Welcome everyone to Nox Game Design for May 2024. So this month I'm going to be talking about flood fill and how to implement that using recursion. So first of all, basics of recursion. Recursion is a way for you to write a program and you can calculate the output of a problem by having a method call itself multiple times, and eventually you have an end condition. So once this method calls itself repeatedly, it will keep adding onto the stack, and then once it reaches that conclusion state, the final state, then it'll start popping or unwinding that stack and return the answer. So also put here, see also induction. It's kind of like induction in mathematics, where you assume the start state and then you have the next step, then you prove for the next, if the next step is true, then it's true for all cases. So similar to that. So here's an example, simple example of recursion with C. This is the first example I learned when I started college, is how to multiply using recursion. So you can actually determine the product of two values without using a multiplication operator and without using a loop. So I have it here on the slide right here, but also have it in my msys window. So it's recursion.c. So basically it's just a standard C program. We have our int main void, and I got three cases right here, and each of these is going to call this method called recursion multiply, and recursion multiply returns an int and takes two variables, two parameters. It takes an int value and then an int time. So if you want to know, like for example, the product of 3 and 4, you just call recursion multiply with 3 and 4. So what that's going to do, it's going to come in, pass the 3 as the first parameter and 4 as the second value. So for every time this gets called, it's going to reduce that I times value by 1. And then when I times gets to 0, then it stops. And then it starts popping off the stack or unwinding the stack. But while it is greater than 0, we're going to take the value, that the first value that's passed in this case a 3, and then we're going to assign that value. Then we're going to add on the result of calling that recursion multiply, calling the same function again, passing in that value, and then the new value for I times, which is 1 less than the previous value for I times. So the first time this is going to get called, it's going to get called with parameters 3 and 4. Then it's going to come in here. Then it's going to add on recursion multiply 3 and 3. So then the next time it gets called, we're going to reduce that I times value by 1. So then it's going to be called with 3, 2, then 3, 1. And then when it gets that I times gets to 0, then it's going to stop. And then it's just going to start popping those values off. So every time that gets called, it's going to add on that value. So yeah, I mean, it really isn't saving you any processing or anything, but it's a good example on how to do recursion. So you can compile this with GCC and recursion.c, then output recursion. Then that will make an exe. So do recursion exe. Then you can see I had other examples here, 2 times 21. You can also use like 3 values right here as well. So if we look at that, recursion.c. So for that one, I just do a recursion multiply, then pass in recursion multiply with the two parameters, then comma, then the third parameter. So it's kind of like doing functional programming, kind of a introduction to how to do functional programming. So that's just an intro to recursion. I think, you know, all software developers should know how to do simple recursion, how to specify that end state. So the application I'm going to look at this month is the flood fill algorithm, which I think every game developer should know, because you can use it for various different purposes. It's just a good one to know. So, but to be able to do a flood fill, so this is like the old MS Paint that I grew up with back in the 90s. You can like do like shapes, draw shapes with your pencil or pen tool. Then you could use the paint bucket to fill that in. But the paint bucket isn't just magic or anything. There's an algorithm on how that determines what which pixels gets filled in. So first of all, to do our simple drawing program, we need to define constants or cell size, screen width, and screen height. That can also be like window width or window height. Then you need a 2D arrays of the cells. So our cells are going to be, in this example, 16 by 16. We're going to do screen width divided by cell size, screen height divided by cell size. So that's going to be our 2D array of cells. Then on our draw call, we're going to loop through all those cells, and then we're going to draw the cell at location. So for the X, it's going to be column times cell size, and then for Y, it's going to be row times cell size. For handle input on every update, we're going to determine the row if the mouse is clicked. The row is mouse Y divided by cell size, and column is mouse X divided by cell size. Need to make sure that we're doing some balance checking so we're not clicking outside the window or anything, and make sure that it's less than the total row and column count times the cell size. So what we're going to do is we're going to have like the ability to change color of our pencil or pen tool, whatever we want to call it. Go ahead and open it up here. So this is the code right here. So I'm just using the basic monogame template in Visual Studio. I called it Flood Field, just using the, I didn't even rename the default class. It's just game one. So we got our screen width. Setting it 1280 by 720p. Cell size is 16. We got our 2D array of cells. I forget in C sharp the difference between the comma notation for a 2D array and the two open and close square brackets. But it seems like I think the comma notation means it can be a dynamically sized array for each row, I think. So I usually go with this. So I'm going to keep track of the total row and total columns. That can be calculated, but I'm just going to go ahead and store it in a variable. Going to have a list of colors, valid colors, and then we're going to have a selected color. I'm keeping track of the previous keyboard mouse states. In our constructor, we're setting the screen, the window size to screen width and screen height. Then apply changes, because by default it gives you a little itty bitty tiny window, like 640 by 40 or something like that. In our initialize, we're going to calculate total rows, total columns, and cells. This is our 2D array of cells. We're going to make a new int, total rows, total columns. This was just testing right there. I want to comment that out. Just make sure I could draw a cell. So we're going to make a new list of colors. Then to that, we're going to add all our colors. So I looked up the color codes for the standard 8 set of Crayola crayons. So it's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, I think purple, brown, and black. I think I'm forgetting one in there. Black, brown, purple. This looks like it's blue. And yeah, I'm not sure. This is the standard. So by default, we're going to have selected color four. So I got it set. If you look in, so on our update, we've got handle input right here, and that's going to get called every update. So here's where we're like give the user the ability to change color. So this could be cleaned up right here, but I just have a different case for each number key. So you can use 0 through 8 for changing the color. If keyboard state is key down 0, and not the previous keyboard state is 0, so it means it's been pressed on that front or on that update. Then we're going to set the selected color to 0, which is white. Yeah, that's white right there. So 0 is white. red is one, two is orange, three is yellow, four is green, five is blue, six is purple, seven is brown, and I think eight is black. And then if you press the C key, then it's going to clear all the cells. Here's the fill cell. Whenever you, if the left mouse button is clicked, then we're going to fill that cell at Y divided by cell size, X divided by cell size. The fill cell, all that's going to do is it's going to check the bounds. And if it's in the bounds, then we're going to set that the cell at that location to the selected color. And it's not a color object. It's just an integer and an index to that color, 1, 0 through 8. Clear cells, we're just going to loop through all the cells in the 2D array and set them all to 0. So by default, everything's 0, which is white. In our draw, so this is kind of like where I actually started out, was with the draw. We're going to do a sprite batch begin, and then a sprite batch end down there. Then we're just going to loop through all the cells, through all the rows, and through all the columns, and we're going to call sprite batch draw using the texture, which I call image cell. Image cell is set in the load content. Image cell equals content load texture TD cell. That's set to an instance variable at the top, texture 2D image cell. And that's actually set in the content MGCB right there. If you double click that, this is kind of like standard mono game stuff. You can see the cell picture right there. So it's just a blank 16 by 16 white PNG. And you can actually add that using the add existing item, then you can, yeah, there it is right there, cell.png. That's how I added that. So the nice thing about using a white sprite is you can use that index to set the color by the index. So we're going to draw a new rectangle at column times cell size, row times cell size, with the size, cell size, cell size, using the color index at that cell row column. So whatever index that is, integer that is going to draw that color. It's going to set that texture to that color. I was going to make it where it's going to use HSV values. So if you need to get, this is kind of like a little bonus here. If you need to get an RGB value, red, green, blue value from a hue saturation value, here's a function that you can use, and I end up not going with this. I just use the list of colors, but I did a little bit of research. I think I did this before, but I think by default Monogame doesn't include an HSV to RGB function. So here's the code. You calculate the C, X, and M values, and based on whether the hue is between, it's like in increments of 60, between 0 and 60, 60 and 120, 120 and 180, 180 and 240, 240 by 300. That determines within those ranges which values get assigned. The CX or 0 get assigned to RGB. Then at the end, your result color is going to be R plus that M value, G plus that M value, and B plus that M value times 255 to give you a value between 0 and 255. One thing where I messed up, be sure to cast these as an int, that because the three parameters by ints will take the 0 to 255 values. If any of these are floats, then it's going to expect that it's going to use the method implementation that uses the 0.0 to 0 to 1.0 float notation, 0 to 1 notation instead of 0 to 255. So that threw me for a loop for a little while. But anyway, I didn't use any of this. I just used the array. So anyway, if I press flood fill right there, in a second, it's going to start up. Okay, so it's going to start up with a blank white window. I think by default our color is 4, so that's going to give us a green value. If I press 1 for red, if you go too fast, then it'll leave gaps. I didn't like do a line implementation or anything. But yeah, I'm pressing the numeric keys to give me different colors. But yeah, this is great. But the only problem is is it's not filling in any of these. So those are the 8 crayon colors that I did. So it's like a very fundamental drawing program. And I suggest anybody that's getting started with programming, it's like, this is a good test right here. Aside from the number guessing game, see if you can do a simple drawing program. That's a good way to start out. And that's kind of like a first step. And then if you can implement a drawing program, then you say, hey, that's on my list, the tool set, bucket of tools or whatever. It's in your tool set. And it's like, yeah, I can write a program, a drawing program. Then if you press C, that's going to just set all those indices to 0, and it immediately clears everything. Okay, so that's our simple drawing program. And there's an example that I did right there in Knox Game Design using that program. So here's the flood fill. It's pretty simple. So whenever we click the right mouse button, the previous state was pressed, and the previous state was released and it's pressed. And we only want to call this once when the button gets pressed down. We don't want to keep calling this because that's not good. That'll cause problems. So we're going to get the selected row, selected column where the mouse was clicked. And then this is the balance checks right here. If selected row is greater than 0, selected row is less than total rows, selected columns greater than or equal to 0, and selected columns less than total columns, then we're going to get the current color. I'm calling it I replace color. We'll get the current color at that cell where it was clicked. So we get that by looking at the TD array cells, I cells, I selected row, I selected column. Then we're going to assign that to I replace color. And if that replace color does not equal the current color, then we're going to call flood fill using the selected row, selected column, and the replace color. So then that's going to call flood fill with those three parameters down here, that function. So here again, we're doing balance checking. If the row is greater than 0, greater than equals 0, the row is less than total rows. If I columns greater than 0, greater than or equal to 0, and I columns less than total columns. And then if the cell at that location equals the replace color, then we're going to set that cell to the selected color. And then we're going to call flood fill on the four adjacent cells. We're going to call flood fill on the column to the right. We're going to call flood fill on the column to the left. We're going to call flood fill on the row below. So plus one is actually the row below, if you're going from top to bottom in Y direction. And then flood fill row minus one, the row above. We're going to set it to the replace color. So once each of these four gets called, it's going to call it again with that offset. Then if the offset is out of bounds, or if that new location is not the replace color, then it's going to quit calling this if function. That's when it's going to stop, and it's going to start popping off the stack. This actually works pretty well, and I've seen... looked at some other implementations of recursion for flood fill. There's an example right there. And it talks about using tuples and all this. And so there's a couple of different ways you can implement this. But if you're just doing a simple replace color, that's all you need to do. Is like those four lines, the one to the right, one to the left, one above, and one below. Then check your bounds, and then check and make sure that the color is the color that you're replacing. So if you look up here, this is where I've implemented it. Here's the flood fill where we're clicking the right mouse button and then we're getting selected row. This is the same thing that's on that previous slide. And then we're going to get the replace color at that clicked location. And if it doesn't equal the replace color, then we're going to call flood fill with the selected row and selected column and then pass in the replace color. So, and here's our flood fill method right here. This is all it is right here. So, we're going to do the bounds checking right there. Then we're going to check and make sure that this new location is the index of the replace color. If it is, then we're going to set that one to the selected color, and then we're going to call flood fill on the four adjacent cells above, below, to left, and right. Now, sometimes it's like, well, if you're not actually replacing the color as you go, then you need to keep track of which cells you visited, and that's when you may want to like keep track of the tuples and all that and create a queue and all that. So if you're not replacing the color as you go, then there's a case for doing that. But if we are replacing the color as we go, then that's all you need to do right there. So let's see if I can do like I'll write Nox. So here's a red K. And again, make sure that you're not leaving any gaps, just like the old school paint. Okay. Then I'll make N. I'm going to have enough space. I'm not sure. And there's a gap right there. K, N, O, O. So I'm doing this with the left mouse button. And there's our X. The X kind of looks like the K. Nox. Nox game design. So now we're going to do the right click. So do 5. There's a blue and purple. Brown, and let's go back to red for that one. Yeah, so that's the flood fill algorithm right there. You can go and press 0, I think. Change them back. We want to do 8. Then we can. So you can also do these, but they're only going to fill in from while the selected cells are contiguous there. That'd be like an exercise to the student, is like a global color replace, which is usually a good tool to have in a paint program. But yeah, this really isn't making a game, but on the next slide, I did have examples where this could be used in gaming. Like if you're doing a level editor or a map editor, things like that. I always think of like the old Warcraft and RTS games, making my own stages. And there's red, there's orange, green, and blue. Oops, I did the background purple. Let's do a red background, and then like a green letters. You can do something wild like that. Yep. Kind of like a Christmas theme there. Nox Christmas theme. So yeah, let's go back here. That's an example. Yeah, so one of the games I implemented a long time ago is a simple Minesweeper game I did for Android, or I did it in Unity and exported to Android. But yeah, I think of that when I kept track of all the visited cells when I was opening up the adjacent cells. So yeah, if you do your paint program, the next step is to do a Minesweeper clone, which is a pretty simple game to implement. And then here, made a note here, if you're not coloring the cells as you go, then you got to maybe do an extra check to see if it's a visited cell. But since we're coloring as we went, then we knew the color, if we changed it to the selected color, isn't the replace color, so we knew it was visited. So that's what made that implementation simple with the four calls. Also, you need to watch out for infinite recursion. I even ran into this when I was implementing this, and good thing is like Visual Studio is good at catching infinite recursion, otherwise known as stack overflow. You'll get a stack overflow error once it recurses too many times, and it kind of detects on that and says, hey, you got an infinite, kind of like an infinite loop going on there. And like I mentioned, if you're doing a level or a map editor for a game, then it's good to know, especially if it's a 2D cell, square cell based game, then it's good to know how to do a flood fill, because if you're like drawing an ocean or something, you don't want to have to fill in every single little pixel as you're coloring there. You want to just like do a flood fill and fill all that in. Yeah, so that's it for the recursion and flood fill. Hope people found it interesting. It's a good introduction, like one of the first things that I learned when I got into my computer science college program at Georgia Tech was how to do recursion, and I wasn't exposed to recursion before college, so it's a good thing to know how to do, especially if you're, like I said earlier, if you're getting into functional programming, it's used a lot if you're doing like Lisp or Scheme or probably even other languages. It's good to know how to do recursion. So anyway, that's going to wrap it up for May 2024. Hopefully everybody found it interesting. Hopefully we all learned something, and I'll try to be back in a month.